Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And I'm Juan Contreras.
All right.
Wait. Where's Rick? Where's Rick?
I don't know. Will we miss him today?
I think so.
Yeah, we will miss him, of course. Now, Rick's busy. He had some family come in this weekend, and he's spending some time with them. So we decided we'd get our brother Juan. You actually came from California, didn't you, Juan?
That's right.
Yeah, you got here, last Sunday night,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
I think I greeted you here at the Prophecies of Hope Church about 11 o'clock or
That's
so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and you held me up until 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But no, welcome. We're really glad to have Brother Juan here, and he is quite a Bible student, and he's spoken for several different ministries. He's actually spoken here at Prophecies of Hope the last time you came,
That's the first and last time you came. That's right.
And he's here with his family, so it's really a blessing to have him. So before we get started, I always like to thank Ray Powers at New Visions Radio for giving us the opportunity to broadcast here. You know, Ed, we've been a part of this New Visions Radio family for about 7 years. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And so I just want to thank Ray for letting us broadcast here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, this is Sunday, the 13th of September. Before I tell you what's in the plans for this month, Ed, would you tell a little bit about what is Prophecies of Hope all about? What do we do?
Well, we're a little ministry located in the town of Stanton, Virginia. We have a church here. We meet on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. And then on Saturday mornings, the Sabbath, we have our church service, which consists of a Bible study time, which we call Sabbath school, and then we have our church service at 11 a.m.
There you go. And you can stream that online at prophecyhope.com. If
yes.
You go to the website, just look to the left side and you'll see it there. Now, the interesting thing is if you go to the website now, it's going to look a little different than what you would see normally. Normally, you'd see my face, which I was going to pick on Juan today. Ed just knew I was going to say something about Juan. I have a face for radio. That's what Rick always tells me.
Yeah.
But normally you'll see my face and Rick's face and Ed's face just so you get to know who we are and just a little testimonial about, you know, what our thoughts are, what our background is. And but now if you go there, you'll find a handbill. And it's actually just like a splash page that shows you about the Bible prophecy series that's coming up. And there's six different topics, six different nights. And that's going to be September the 28th through October the 3rd.
Okay.
And what time do we start?
7 p.m. Eastern time.
Eastern time, yeah. And that'll actually be each night we'll be streaming that if you go right there to the website. So hopefully you'll be able to tune in. We've increased our bandwidth so that lots and lots of people can stream. We put billboards all over the community here. Okay. And we're just really excited about that. And these... Friends, for the times that we're living in, what this is designed to do is to help people to recognize that the Bible is a highly prophetic book.
That's right.
And it points to a very important time period that I personally believe we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys?
That's yes. right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so what we're going to do today, before we get started, we always like to open with prayer. But just so you know, get your Bibles handy, and you might want to get out a notepad because we're going to be talking about how to study the Bible. This is a pretty interesting topic. Somebody asked us, you know, how do you guys study? You know, where do you come up when a Bible question comes in? How do you find the answer so quickly? Well, it's not that we're Bible scholars or geniuses, is it, Ed?
That's right.
By any means. But we have some aids that we use that really help us, and we want to share those with you so that you can do the same type of Bible study we do.
That's right.
So to begin our study, Ed, would you open with a word of prayer for us?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day, this opportunity to come together and to study your word. Father, we simply humbly ask for your promise of the Spirit of truth to guide us in all truth, and we ask for wisdom, which James chapter 1 says you'll give to those who seek it liberally. And Father, so just guide us in our study today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So I guess, go ahead.
I've got a question to ask.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know if I have an answer.
So, you know, there's lots of different churches in Virginia around us.
Yeah.
And they teach different things.
Mm-hmm.
How can I know from the Bible what the Bible actually says. How can I know what it's saying? Because one church says it says this, another church says it says something else.
Wow. You know, that is a great question. And, you know, Juan, at any time, if you want to jump in, if you have a thought on that, you're welcome to share. I think this is Juan's first time on live radio.
So. Right. Yes, it is.
But that's all right. Don't be nervous. Nobody can see you. No. They don't know. You know, they don't know. They don't know. They're not going to beat the door down and come in here and drag you out or anything.
No.
But so that is a great question, Ed. You know, how do I know? I think, you know, I've been in a position in my lifetime where I grew up in a church that believed that they were God's church. And they taught people that this is where Bible knowledge comes from. And I discovered pretty quickly as an adult, once I started taking the Bible seriously, that Bible knowledge doesn't come from a church or denomination. But it comes from where?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. That's right. From the Bible. So where do I start? You know, how do I begin my study?
You know, I would suggest to begin with prayer like I just did, claiming the promises of God. Jesus said, I'll send you the Spirit of the truth to guide you into all truth in John chapter 16. And then in James chapter 1, there's the promise of wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask for it and God will give it to you. Mm. So my experience was I grew up in a Christian church that had the truth.
And we grew up in different churches, didn't we?
And I grew up studying the Bible to prove what my church taught.
Right.
It wasn't until I made the choice to read God's Word to simply find out what it said.
Makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, I found the same thing. In fact, I remember, I think I've shared this on this program before. I thought that I knew what the Bible said until I was at work one day and a gentleman opened up the Bible and pointed to a Bible verse in Exodus chapter 20. And when I read it, even though I had seen it before, it never quite struck me the way it did. And it was about the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And at the opening part, if this is your first time tuning in here this evening, you heard Ed mention the biblical Sabbath. So if that question comes to my mind, I'm just doing this topically, not picking any particular topic. So now I've got this word Sabbath in my mind. How do I study that? Where do I go from here? Well, one of the advantages that we have living in this 21st century is we have a computer, most of us, or a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Some of us may not. If you don't have access to those things, there are libraries, hopefully in your community, where you can go and you can have access to a computer. And there are programs that you can download, or you can even go to websites that have Bible programs right on them. BlueLetterBible.org is one of those. And it's just a web page. And it has, you can do a word search, like you can type in the word Sabbath.
Mm.
Or, you know, sometimes on this program, Ed reads from the modern King James Bible in the Old Testament. It uses the divine name Jehovah. So you can type that in. And it'll show you everywhere where that particular word appears in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Even the letter A. If you type the letter A in, it'll show you everywhere the letter A is. So these tools are just amazing that we have today. And it makes it so much easier than when 30 years ago when I started studying and reading, I didn't have that.
You know the biggest tool I use, the high-tech tool I use?
What is that, Ed?
Google.
Google works wonders, doesn't it?
If you have just a little bit of an idea what the verse says that you're looking for, type it in. I use Google more than I use my Bible search program.
Wow.
Do you know why?
Because it's accessible all of the time?
Well, that and I can't spell. You don't spell the word exactly right in the Bible software program, you can't find it.
That's
but
right.
Google knows what you mean, and it will pop up.
Right. And there, you know, there are some caveats to using Google because, you know, if you're a Bible student and you type in certain things, sometimes it might take you to a place that looks like a Bible verse, and it might be somebody expounding on a topic that's not necessarily the biblical view.
Let me clarify how I use Google.
Okay, good.
I use Google to find the text.
Okay.
Let's say John 3:16.
Right.
And then I go to the Bible and read that text. I don't necessarily read what all is written by someone else. And the reason why is I don't want to know somebody else's beliefs. I don't want my faith to be based on somebody else's belief or somebody else's faith. I want it to be based on what the Bible actually says.
Amen.
I think that also many Christians, they probably have forgotten what Jesus stated in John 5:39, where he reads, or I'm going to read it, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Amen.
So here Jesus is telling us to search the scriptures.
Search the scriptures. That's it.
That's very important for us to do.
It is.
If we search the scriptures and we are familiar with what the scriptures teach, then it'll be difficult for us to be deceived.
Yes, you're right.
You know, let me add a text to what he just said here. It's found in 2 Timothy 2:15.
Okay.
It says, "Study earnestly to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth being the Bible." To me, the key word is rightly dividing the word of truth. Be honest about what it says. You know, don't try to make it say what you believe it should say or what your church teaches.
Right.
But sometimes I've read a text many times and I've never really looked and taken in the words on the page,
right,
to see what it actually is talking about.
Now, Ed, unfortunately, you couldn't remember. Ed has a YouTube channel that is designed to help people to learn how to study. And what's your first advice that you give on that channel?
The first advice is, I say, and this sounds pretty simple, but read the words on the page.
Read. So when you say read the words on the page, everybody says, well, of course I'm going to read the words on the page. What do you mean when you say
okay,
that?
Let me take you to the book of Colossians,
okay,
chapter 2.
Now, see, Ed uses a computer, and I'm sitting here with my old-fashioned Bible.
You know, I don't know what I would do without my computer because all my notes, all my scripture that's connected to each other is on my computer.
And it's
wonderful.
Marvel.
Okay, I want to read Colossians 2:2. Actually, I'll start with verse 1.
Okay.
It says, this is Paul speaking, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ."
Okay.
So, what's the big deal about this verse too? Let me tell you. I have known many people that take Colossians 2:2 and say, this verse says God is a mystery. Yeah. And they use that to try to justify their belief in the Trinity. And if you look at the words on the page, it says, Paul wants them to have the riches of the full assurance of the understanding to the full knowledge of the mystery of God. Not that God is a mystery, but God has a mystery, and of the Father and of Christ. And so it doesn't even begin to say what they say it says.
Right.
But if you just briefly look at this and you see the mystery of God, oh, they're right. Yeah, God's a mystery. You can't understand him.
Letting someone tell you what the text means. So
this is where I started using these Bible principles with this very verse.
Really?
Yes.
So that's why it meant something to you.
Yes.
You see? You know, when I, again, that text that made me start looking was the one about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'd read over that. I'd went through it so many times. But when I slowed down and read the words on the page, I said, wait a minute, this begins with the word remember. So it must be important. And then it talks about who God is and what he did and that he rested, that he made this day holy. None of that ever stood out because I wasn't reading the words on the page. I was going with my preconceived idea of what I thought it meant.
Right.
Dangerous. That's a dangerous thing to do.
I think we also find a fine example of this in the book of Acts. Chapter 17, verse 11 of the Bereans, right?
Yes.
They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, they were listening to Paul speak.
Right.
How much more that, you know, we listen to pastors and other Bible teachers, we should be able to distinguish again falsehood from the truth if we are familiar with what the Bible teaches.
So what I hear you say that text is saying is, if my pastor's up front preaching, I need to check out the Bible to make sure that what he's saying is really what the Bible says.
Right.
And that's what these folks in Berea did, right?
Right. And not only that, but whatever he utters from the pulpit or the platform, you'll be able to detect, well, that's not what the Bible says.
Right. That's right. That's so important. Right.
So I want to go back to this verse in Colossians 2:2.
Yeah, because I want to read it from my Bible.
All right, go ahead.
Well, here's what it says. Yours is a little bit different. I have the New King James. Don't forget your thought, Ed.
Yeah.
I don't want to take your thunder here.
No, no, you're fine.
But it says here, that their hearts may be, this is verse 2, Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ.
Yeah.
So it's saying that this word mystery, according to what this says, doesn't mean that it's something that's unknowable or mysterious, but what? What's it saying?
Well, to me, it's saying he wants us to know this mystery of God.
Yeah, he'll reveal it to us.
And you know what? That comes to another principle of Bible study.
Okay.
When you read scripture like this, if you just read these two verses, Colossians 2, 1 and 2, he's thinking, well, what is this all about? How can I find out? There's a principle called reading it in, when you study the Bible, read the verses in context.
Okay.
And that means you read the verses before and the verses after.
That's
to
right.
Try to understand what the whole story is about.
That's right.
And so, well, Colossians 2:1, we read that. Well, what about the chapter before, chapter 1?
Good thing to read, isn't it?
And if you read chapter 1 towards the end of the chapter, you'll find it talks about this mystery. And let me just find it here real quick. It said,
Colossians
1:26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. For to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. For which I also labor, striving accordingly to the working of him who works in me in power. Then he just keeps on preaching in chapter 2. When we get to the second verse, he wants us to have the full knowledge of this mystery. Not only the full knowledge of the mystery, but the full knowledge of the Father and of Christ.
Yes, that's right.
And so when the Trinitarian says this means God is a mystery and you can't understand him, it's saying the verse is
exactly.
Actually saying the total
that's
opposite.
Right. It is.
So unless you study for yourself,
you can't draw that conclusion.
No.
Right.
You can't. The important thing that you said that really stands out to me, Ed, is the context. How many times have you been, especially in the past year, you turn on the news and they'll take one little snippet of a sentence that somebody said and they'll paste it up there and say, look what so-and-so said. And you think, oh, wow, I can't believe that guy said that. And then when you hear what he said in the context, he said it, you say, well, wow, he didn't say that at all.
That's right.
Yeah.
We can do that with the Bible.
Oh, people do it all the time.
Unfortunately, whole denominations do that and build doctrines upon doing that.
See, this is the problem. People choose to study the Bible and teach the Bible based on their doctrines that their church teaches versus simply reading the Word of God to find out what it says.
And it's not always easy. I don't want anybody here to think that we're making this sound like, oh, it's so simple. No, sometimes you read a passage and you read it over and over and you say, I just can't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
So what can you do in that situation?
Well, for me personally, I think a good thing to do is to do a word search. Like, for example, on this word mystery that you're talking about here.
And you'll find that word mystery is found 22 times only in the New Testament. The word mystery isn't used in the Old Testament.
Right. And what you need to do, look
at each verse,
right,
read it in context, and see what it says. And you'll find that a lot of the verses are talking about the mystery of the kingdom of God,
right,
which we know is the gospel, which is Christ's death and his life, that he now wishes to live within us, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right. Now, here's the thing. You know, friends, if you're listening, nothing that is worth having is easy to obtain. It takes effort.
Right.
You know what? If you really want to know, you'll find it interesting and you'll put forth your effort.
That's exactly right. And so,
and it will be exciting for
yes.
you.
So you said, wow, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm the person listening to the program. And I'm saying, He said mystery was 22 times. That means I've got to look up 22 verses.
Yeah.
And then, wait a minute, I've got to look them up in their context. So possibly I have to read 22 chapters. And it can seem overwhelming.
Right.
It can seem Don't let it overwhelm you. Take your time and enjoy yourself.
Do you want to know?
That's the question. How badly do you want it? Yeah. How badly do you want to know it? How badly do you want to know the Father and His Son? That's what it boils down to, isn't it? That's what it all comes down to. So we've talked about the word search. We've talked about looking in context. Now, there are some things for those of you who have the computer. Now, your program, Ed, you can make notes. What program do you use?
I use a program called eSort. It's free online. There's a...
The letter E?
Dash sword.
E dash sword. Okay.
And there's a bunch of free Bible versions you can download. They have ones that you can purchase, but I have on my Bible maybe 20 versions right now. They were all free.
Okay.
And I use them. I compare versions of the Bible to each other.
Right.
It gives you more knowledge, a better understanding. Now, you have to be careful because sometimes the translations were written by men who have a different understanding of based on the doctrines of their church they go to. And that can kind of sway how they word things.
Very true.
But if you use a bunch of different Bibles and you have knowledge of the subject you're studying, what the whole Bible says, so that's one thing I want to say. Mm-hmm. You look at the whole Bible, what it says about a particular subject, not just one chapter or one verse or one book of the Bible.
Right.
You look at Old and New Testament.
Yes, very important.
And somebody, we were having a Bible study the other night, and somebody said, well, Jesus only quoted from the Old Testament.
That's right.
And then they realized, well, there was no New Testament.
Right. That's right. That's all they had to quote from.
Yeah.
You know, so many people forget that. So when people say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian, well, wait a minute, you're missing out on all the stuff that Jesus was quoting.
And
you'll read what he quoted, but you're going to miss it in its context.
Paul quoted the Old Testament as well.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And we'll touch on some of that in the series that's coming up this September. So now you have your laptop is actually a PC-based machine. What do you have there on your desk, Brother Juan?
This is an iPad.
An iPad.
But you have also, you're able to get some apps that... give you many resources.
Okay. Do you know the names of any of those that we can?
Blue Letter Bible.
Blue Letter Bible. Okay. Yeah. That was one of the websites that I mentioned.
The main one I use. And there you find different versions as well.
You find it to be pretty good? I mean,
Yes, it is. It's easy to use. Yes. It even gives you, there's even a interlinear. You can have Greek.
Interlinear. Explain that, please.
Well, you find the original Greek, whether it's in the New Testament.
Okay.
And then you have the Hebrew, the meaning of the Hebrew word for the English version that you're or word that you're reading.
There you go. So just for if you're tuning in and you're hearing this and it sounds confusing, the Bible was written in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew.
That's right.
And the New Testament was written in Greek and some Aramaic.
Yes.
So when you look at it, that's what you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this interlinear, I know it sounds like a big word, but what it does is it gives you a word-for-word translation from the Greek or the Hebrew to the English.
To the English.
And then it gives you, there's an assigned number beside each one. And when you click on that number, what does it do?
It gives you it actually gives you the pronunciation of the Hebrew word.
Okay.
And the definition.
Now, on your program, does it pronounce the word?
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yes.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I can't speak English, so I don't know how I would do Greek and Hebrew.
It pronounces it there for you.
That's really cool. So now the program that I use, it shows it to me phonetically. It gives me the phonetic wording. But I do have a program that does give you some of the pronunciations.
Okay.
I'll have to check that out.
Let me tell you what I like about eSort, and this is the only really Bible version I've used. I have the ability to link as many notes and as many texts to a particular verse in the Bible.
Okay.
So when I'm studying it, I can read it as from information from the whole Bible. I collect it all in one space, and I can link that to each verse. You can also do topic notes. You can do other types of study notes too. But to me, my memory is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to have it written down. When I see something, if I'm studying in my regular Bible, I'll write it on a piece of paper.
Right.
Something I want to remember, I'll write it down so I can put it in my computer later on.
So now what you do with that, you know, I have a word for it. I don't know if it's even something that's real or not, but I make in my Bible what I call a scripture chain.
Yes.
In other words, right. in my hard copy of the Bible, I might have a Bible verse and I'll think, well, there's another verse that links to this.
Exactly,
so that's
yes.
why I call it a scripture yeah. chain. And I'll write that right next to the verse that I'm studying. So some people, you know, when I'm witnessing to someone and we're on a particular topic, we might be talking about the begotten Son. Now, I'll be honest, most of those texts I have memorized. But, you know, in case I forget, if I do, it's right there. So it'll take me from this verse to that verse. And people say, wow, you really know your Bible. And I say, well, actually, look, I've got it all written down. You know, and I, yes, on certain topics, you will get very familiar with it. In fact, when you wear out a Bible like I have and you start a new Bible, it does you some good to have those right. things committed to memory.
What you can do as well is maybe highlight a certain topic with a certain color as well.
Very good idea.
Write in your Bible. I write in my Bible.
I do too. Yeah.
Write in it. Make notes. And if you can, if you don't have a Bible now and you're searching for a Bible, try to find one that has room to write in.
Yes. Yeah. Wide margins, they call yeah. it. It gets you a wide margin Bible. Also, you know, since this has come up, this is something else that comes up a lot. I get this question a lot. Well, what translation of the Bible do you recommend?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, I'm just going to throw it out there. I personally, and you guys give me your thoughts here. And, you know, everybody might have a little bit different idea, but my research has proven to me that the tried and true authorized King James, the regular old archaic English King James Bible, seems to be one of the best translations, in my opinion, that you can find. But it's really hard to understand.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the language is really difficult. It's difficult for me, and I consider myself to be a seeker, a truth mm-hmm. seeker, a Bible student. You know, I want to learn. But because of the amount of public speaking that I have done, and even on this program, I use the New King James. And there are some issues there. There are some issues with it. Ed, here on the program, you use which one?
I typically use Modern King James Version. When I do any speaking or teaching a study, I tend to use that. But to tell you the truth, when I'm studying prophecy or speaking about prophecy or we're studying about prophecy, I tend to use the King James much more. Because
I'm with you.
It seems to be a little bit more accurate. It's I can depend on it more without having to worry about is this really saying what
changes,
it,
something
yeah.
obscure. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Brother Juan, how about you? What's been your experience?
King James. Yeah. I mean, I do read other translations, like you mentioned earlier, just to get maybe a better understanding from a word that I can't understand.
Right.
Or it'll enhance my understanding.
Now, Brother Juan, I'm glad you're here while we're doing this particular program because you're bilingual. Your first language is Spanish,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So in the Spanish language, for people who speak or know Spanish, do you have a recommendation there?
Reina Valera.
Okay.
Maybe it. There's older versions. I haven't had a copy of them, literally okay. a physical copy.
Right.
But I've been speaking and giving Bible studies in English for so long that I just haven't been able to verify how good these other versions are, you know, Spanish
okay,
versions
right,
are.
Right, right.
But I've heard, I think it's the 1960 or 1916 Reina Valera that they say it's a good translation.
Okay, now I don't speak any Spanish. I know a couple of Spanish words like taco and chimichanga. And Brother Juan laughs at me every time I say that. You know, that's about the only, because I love to eat. So, you know, I'm going to know those words.
Yeah.
You can look at my belly and tell, I'm sure. But so when I look at these things and I look at these Bibles, I have the one that you're talking about. And you said that, say that one more time.
Reina Valera?
Yes. Okay. So I won't try to say that.
Right.
but I will tell you that I have that copy of the Bible. And when I open it up, there, sometimes I can see certain words that I recognize. And if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in Spanish, the divine name is Jehovah.
Yeah, Jehovah.
And it's in That's there.
Right. Yes, it is.
Where it belongs. Right. It's in that Bible. It's been put right there. So,
Even though in newer versions, it has been removed as well.
Oh, it has.
Yes.
But in that 1960 or 61 version?
I believe it's there, yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, it's been replaced with the Eternal One or Lord.
Okay. Now, Lord is said differently in Spanish.
Señor.
Señor. Right.
I think that's important. This important topic to talk about the Old Testament. When you may have a Bible where the word Lord is in all caps. What does that mean, Mark?
Well, in the Old Testament, when you look in the Bible and you see, let's just take a look at a text. And
right.
If you have your Bible, friends, open up to Psalm 110 and verse 1. And I like to do this because this is a really good example of how it's easy to get confused if we don't understand. That's a great question, Ed. And if we don't understand this, Psalm 110 and verse 1, I'm going to read this from the New King James. Then I'm going to get you to read it from the Authorized King James, Brother Juan, and then I'm going to get you to read it from the Modern King James, Ed, okay? So mine says, the Lord, that's all caps, okay? So that's all capitalized, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord said to my Lord, capital L, small O-R-D. So I just realize these are two different ways of looking at it. I'm explaining it for those of you who are listening who don't have a Bible in front of you. So it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, how does it read in the King James?
It reads similar. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, said unto my Lord, which is capital L, and then small L-O-R-D.
Right.
Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Okay. So it just uses, it's the same exact thing, just uses the word thine instead of your.
Correct.
Now, Ed, read that from the Modern King James.
Okay, the Modern King James says this, Jehovah said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies as your footstool.
Ah, so what this is telling me is that Jehovah, that's the tetragrammaton. Tetra means four, grammaton is word. And you know, it always bothers me how if we said to somebody they used a four-letter word, that would be something nasty.
Mm.
And isn't it interesting that the devil has done that with tetragrammaton? God's name is a four-letter word. That's what tetragrammaton means.
And they can be pronounced two different ways, right?
Some would say Yahweh,
uh-huh.
Because we don't really know how it's pronounced.
The pronunciation.
But the Authorized King James Version, Brother Juan, would you turn to Psalm 83, verse 18? And let's read that from the Authorized King James, because it does put the divine name Jehovah, it uses, in there four times. And Psalm 83:18 is one of those times. So the point that we're making, friends, is Bible translation can make a difference in our understanding.
Who is Jehovah?
Jehovah is the God of the universe. He's the creator. He is actually the Father and God of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It reads, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth.
Well, that tells us who Jehovah is, doesn't it?
The Most High over all the earth.
So every time in the Old Testament, and I want to clarify this is the Old Testament we're talking about only, when the Lord is in all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is referring to Jehovah.
Yes, yeah. Jehovah or Yahweh. Some might say Yahushua. There's a lot of different
Jehovah now, or Jehovah. Jehovah.
Right.
Now, there's something else you need to know, that when the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, they don't capitalize the word Lord like it does in the Old Testament.
That's correct. For the most part, they don't. But you know what I like about the New King James that I have? Go ahead.
Well, you just have to be aware of that. So if you understand that they're quoting from the Old Testament, find out where they're quoted from, what part of the Old Testament. Go to it and read it.
And usually, most of your Bibles will have a little footnote or a little letter or some kind of a reference, marginal reference to what it's quoting from.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an example. I just talked to somebody about this on the phone recently, Matthew chapter 4 And this is where Jesus is being tempted by the devil, if you remember. And the first part that comes to mind here is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. And the devil had just tempted him with saying to Jesus, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. And in Matthew 4 verse 10, in the New King James, mine says, then Jesus said to him, and this is in quotes, away with you, Satan, for it is written, and then it has a secondary quote, you shall worship the Lord, all capped, the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So the Thomas Nelson New King James has restored that all caps Lord because he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6.
See, the modern King James is just Lord, first
capital
letter.
L, small yeah. O-R-D. Right. And the King James does the same thing as yes. the modern King James.
You know what? You may ask, well, how do I find out all these things? Well, I'll tell you, I found out this from Mark.
I had studied it before. Yeah. So we learn from each other, yes. don't we? All the time, constantly. So, you know, this is another thing. Don't isolate yourself as a Christian. You know, we're in fact, let's look at a Bible verse. Since this is all about Bible study, Hebrews chapter 10. And really, friends, I can't stress this enough. This was important enough for, I personally believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Some may argue that. I don't think it's worth arguing about. It's in the Bible. That's what I can tell you. And it's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And here's the key, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. So don't isolate yourself. Find a Bible study partner. Find someone who wants to read and search the Word of God.
That's right.
Study together because iron sharpens iron. Isn't that true?
That's true.
And there's never been a time, and I can literally say never been a time that we have come together for a Bible study that I didn't walk away with something that I didn't have before.
Mm.
And it's...
You know, I want to ask you a question. You know, a lot of people are really interested in prophecy.
Yes, they are.
But it's so hard to understand. There's so many symbols. How do I figure out what those symbols mean?
Wow. You know, that's a great question. In fact,
do you have a resource that you could send me?
Yes, we do have a resource. In fact, Brother Juan, I think if you can hand that to me, you're going to have to get out of your chair. Isn't that terrible? It says it should have Unlocking Bible Prophecy is what that should say. It's a little Bible with a chain on it. There we go. All right. So this is just a little guide. Now, there's no doctrine in here whatsoever. It's not doctrine. This is just a little guide that explains a little bit about Bible prophecy just in a couple of paragraphs, and then it shows different things about what does a horse represent in Bible prophecy? What represents a dragon? What represents a beast? What represents a lamb? We hear Jesus called the Lamb of God. Why is that? And then there's Bible texts that point to...
That tell us the answer.
Yes. Right. And so this doesn't say, oh, guess what? This means this. It just says a lamb equals Jesus or sacrifice. And then it gives you a verse like John 1:29, 1 Corinthians 5:7.
And then you also have to look at the context.
Yes.
It's important because when the Bible refers or you find a verse that's mentioning a lion... It could be referring to the kingdom of Babylon.
Yes, or the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Or Satan himself, right?
Satan himself, yeah. That's right.
He's out like a lion.
Like
seeking,
a roaring lion.
Seeking.
So it's very, you know, depending, again, it goes back to that context right. that we were talking about.
Can I give you an example?
Please do.
In Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And it says to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Well, this is a very involved prophecy, but what is that time period about? How do we know what it's talking about?
Brother Juan, do you have any experience with this particular text in Daniel chapter 8?
Daniel 8, verse
14. As far as how do we know, you know, how can we know when it says, he said unto me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Not necessarily what it means, but...
What's this time period about?
What is this... 2,300 days, and how do I conclude?
Well, if you read verse 13.
In context.
You've
got to
consider the context.
Okay, yeah, can you read that for us?
Which reads, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?"
Okay.
So that's the question, and the answer comes in verse 14.
Okay, right. Now it's interesting too. Go ahead, Ed.
So
I think I know where you're going
to
go.
Yeah, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4.
Okay.
And let me read verses 5 and 6.
All right.
And you notice I don't even have to turn there because it's in my notes. That's why I love making notes. And
all this time, these people thought we had all this knowledge. Yeah.
So let me read to it. Listen closely to verse 6. I'm going to start in verse 5.
Is it Ezekiel, correct?
Ezekiel chapter 4. This is God talking to Ezekiel, telling him to do certain things. And he says, "For I have laid on you the number, you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shall you bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have fulfilled them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, a day for a year, a day for a year I have set for you."
Okay.
So we know in Bible prophecy, a day in Bible prophecy equals an actual year of time. So in Daniel 8:14, we're talking about 2,300 years.
Yes. So, and you might say, if you're listening to this for the first time, you might say, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I've never heard this before. Well, this is nothing new.
No.
Many Bible scholars, not that we give a lot of credibility to scholars all the time, but this is not something that's just coming from this little Prophecies of Hope radio program. It's something that, in fact, even if you look up in Daniel, I believe it's Daniel chapter 7 that talks about the 490-year period.
Hmm.
I believe that's Daniel chapter 7. Does that sound right to you?
I believe so.
And
490 you mentioned, right?
Yes. In fact, I've got my Bible right here, Daniel 8. Yeah, it's in Daniel chapter 7. That's where it is. I believe this is it. I thought I had it there. But it speaks about this 490-year period. Oh, wait a minute. That's not Daniel chapter 7. That's Daniel chapter 9.
Okay.
And it talks about 70 weeks are determined for your people, for the holy city. And some Bible translations give it to you in the years, like the Living Bible, it translates.
So 70 weeks, there's 7 days in a week.
Right.
So 7 times 7 is 49. So 490.
Yeah.
And years. A day equals a year. So that's 490 years.
Yeah. And so this is nothing new. I mean, some Bible translations have done that for you. Like I said, the Living Bible. One thing I do want to warn about is there are certain Bibles that are called paraphrases. We have to be really careful of the paraphrase. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. I read a Bible that most people would consider to be a tainted Bible. I grew up with it. I learned from it. I read from it.
And I learned truth from it.
I learned the truth of God.
Yeah.
Why? Because I was asking God for understanding. So I believe if there is a message that God wants you to receive, and you pray and you ask Him to help you with that understanding, to me, whatever translation you're reading, it can be revealed to you.
We also have the promise that we find in His Word, that if we ask for His Spirit.
Yes.
You know, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth.
Amen.
So we have that promise.
Yes, we do. So
claim that promise. Pray that promise.
Yes. Then this is what you, this is the first thing you mentioned, Ed, at the outset. You said the first thing we should do is pray. So when we're reading or study, whether it's just a cursory reading or if you want to study the Bible, it's always good to have a prayer first.
Yes.
And ask for wisdom, ask for understanding, ask for clarity.
Yeah.
And so there are some really neat paraphrases that can really loosen up the translation for you and help you to understand it better. Ed, one that you've used is the easy to read version.
I use three paraphrase version, easy to read version, Good News Bible, and God's Word.
Okay.
Sometimes they're similar, sometimes they're a little bit different.
Right.
But sometimes I find a little bit of better understanding if I'm looking at the King James, I'm thinking, well, I don't really understand this.
Right.
But again, it's just like everything else. You have to compare all of the Bible.
You have to.
You can't just pick one verse in a certain version.
That's so
One of the dangers of a paraphrase, and I'm just going to throw this out there for you, is there a lot of people, liberal theology has crept into a lot of churches these days. And one of the things that I noticed, I've always liked the, not the New Living, but the Living Bible, because it has restored the divine name in many places. The one that's written, that was translated in 71 into English, that translation, 1971. And the problem is, in the Genesis account, it adds a lot of things that shouldn't be there, particularly when it came to the sons of God and the daughters of men. Mm. It actually takes the liberty to add something there that is nowhere found in the text, and right. and it's theology slipping in that shouldn't be there. So we have to be cautious when we're using a paraphrase Bible.
Right.
You know, my suggestion would be stick to something like the Modern King James, the King James, the New King James, and you know, the NIV. A lot of people will use that. It uses a little bit different manuscript. So you'll find a few changes in there, but usually they will notate and tell you what those changes are. So any other thoughts still on this particular topic of translation? Okay, so we've talked about scripture chain. We've talked about reading and context. We've mentioned a few programs.
Can I give you a place in the Bible that talks about the importance of studying the scripture?
Yes, I think that's very
important. Actually found in Luke chapter 24. And you can read the whole thing, but let me just kind of give you the background of the story.
Okay.
Jesus Christ had been crucified, and it was Sunday, and these two men are walking down a road to a town called Emmaus.
Okay.
Okay, and as they're walking along, this man comes up to them, and they're talking about all the events that had happened that weekend, the death of Christ and all this stuff. It was the Passover. And this man was coming up to them, and he noticed that they were really emotionally involved in this conversation. He says, "What are you talking about?" And let me pick it up in verse 19.
Okay,
and
he says Luke 24:19, yeah. Right?
And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a man, a prophet, mighty indeed, and a word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the judgment of death, and have crucified him. But we had trusted that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and some of our women astounded us, having been early at the tomb. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those with us went to the tomb and found even as the women had said, but they did not see him. And this man that was starting to walk with him, he said, 'O fools and slow of heart to believe all things that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." It was Jesus that was walking with him.
Yes,
and he took them to the Bible.
And he gave them a Bible study.
He did.
Right. He did. For however long it took them to walk that journey, that's what he did. Expounded all of the things that were written about himself.
Yes. Right? He went back to the Word of God for them to find truth.
That's where we need to be. Yes. We need to be rooted in the Word and not in our church or pastor or head elder or deacon or whoever we look up
favorite
to.
Favorite writer.
And it doesn't mean you can't talk to them and ask them and get their thoughts. I think we need to do that.
Ask them to show me from the Bible.
That's the key. Show me from the Bible. And so I want to touch on this a little bit more, because not everybody, you know, you have a laptop here, Ed, and you have a tablet, you said an iPad. Now, in front of me, I have a smartphone here. I don't know how smart this thing is. It's a lot smarter than me, I can assure you that. But programs that we can put on these devices, because almost everybody has one. One of the programs that I have used, now, my phone is an Android, so I use what's called the AND, the AND Bible. That's the Android Bible. I believe that's what that stands for. And it's pretty good. And then I have My Sword, which I think is related to eSword.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is or not, but that's what I use on my phone. I don't use my phone a lot, but it's handy to have it there. Yeah.
Right?
No, I have an Android.
You have an Android?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Brother Juan, you have an iPhone, right?
Yes.
Do you have a program on your iPhone that you use, or do you primarily use the iPad?
I primarily use the iPad.
Okay, so the program that you were talking about, that Blue Letter Bible, is available on your iPhone also?
Yes, it
is. Okay. All right, so that way we've got the bases covered. I want to make sure that the iPhone users can have a good app.
Usually when you're able to download something to the iPad, you're able to download it to your iPhone as well.
Okay, all right. See, I'm not an i guy.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, you know, I just noticed I had downloaded this, and I'm going to have to check it. Look at there, the Blue Letter Bible. Do you see that?
That's the app I have.
That's the same app? You can see that?
Yes.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Blue Letter Bible, then, friends, is available on the Android as well. And I've never done the pronunciation thing. Let me just see real quick. Where do I go to find that, Brother Juan?
I think there's the Interlinear the option there.
Okay.
And, of course, you have to highlight the word that you're trying to get.
Okay, so I need to highlight a word. So yeah. You're going to walk me through this right on the air here. I'm going to highlight this word. I can't. I don't know why. It must be my. We'll work this out.
Right.
Because I wanted to let the friends hear it. Can you do that on yours? Kind of put it right next to your mic there, and see if they can hear it pronounce a name in the Bible. It doesn't matter which one you pick. You just pick a word or a name, and that way they can hear. It's really neat. This technology God has allowed us to have. You know, this program, for example. Streaming around the world for people to hear the word of God, and it's such a blessing. I did want to say too, Ed mentioned earlier about, do we have a resource? This little pamphlet, Unlocking Bible Prophecies, it just points you to different verses that you can look at and ways that you can understand some of the imagery that's used in Bible prophecy. If you email me at mark@prophecyhope.com, you can email the Office of Prophecies of Hope by going to office@prophecyhope.com. And Ed?
Or you can email me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Okay, and if you'd like a copy of this, email us. We'll send you a free copy. You'll just have to give us your address. We'll make sure you get it. You know, if you need a
number
of copies.
Do you have an online version of that?
You know, I need to do that. I will put that, I will try to have that on the website before the end of this week, this coming week. It'll be a PDF version, and I might have to make another link. Right now, you can see some of our newsletters on there online. If you go to our website also, you'll find a number of sermons on there, about 300, actually, on prophecyhope.com. And after we do this series this year, we're going to post all of the study guides that we're covering in this particular year. Do you have it now, Juan?
Yes.
Do you have it there? Let's see if we can hear that.
The phrase for...
you can just hold that up,
The too. English word Sabbath, right?
Okay. There you go. You're just going to move the mic there. All right, here we go.
Strong's H7676, Shabbat, Shabbat.
Shabbat. So what that did was that gave you the Hebrew number, H7876, right? H means Hebrew. And then that number is the number that it was assigned by the people who put this interlinear together. And then it gave you the
pronunciation.
And that's the word Shabbat is the Hebrew way of saying
Sabbath.
Sabbath. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we've got about 4 minutes. Is there anything else that you'd like to share, maybe that would help our listener to be able to study the Bible and be a better Bible student? Anything that comes to mind right off the top of your head?
Well, let's continue to talk about Bible prophecy a little
bit. Okay, sure.
There's some really strange visions that Daniel had and that John the Revelator had in Revelation. So how do I know if the language used in a particular text is talking about something literal or something figuratively, something symbolic?
And that's a great question. I think that my understanding is that if there's something that we can read in the Bible and it looks like it's can be taken literally, like when it says in Genesis, there was evening and morning the first day. Well, we know what that means. Mm. There was evening and morning a second day. See, back then they reconciled time from sunset to sunset. So that means that it was a day, a 24-hour day. So if I can take it literally, I take it literally. But go ahead.
Can I give you an example of something that's not literal? In Daniel 7:4, it says, the first, talking about four beasts that came up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I've never seen a lion with eagle's wings.
No, I haven't either. But that's representative of something, isn't
it? Right. So it's not literal.
Correct. And in Revelation, it talks about this beast that comes up that has seven heads and 10 horns.
Right.
If I saw something like that, I'd be running. I'd be going the other direction.
We know that's not literal.
It's not literal.
Yeah.
And in fact, these symbols are going to be covered. If you tune in on prophecyhope.com, September the 28th, this is 2020, at 7 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to lay a firm foundation for these beasts and what they represent and what they mean. We're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 2, and then as the week progresses, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 7, Revelation chapter 13. We're going to see that the United States is in Bible prophecy, what's representative of that in the Bible. So a lot of these things are going to come very clear for you if you can tune in for the week.
One other suggestion I might have talking about studying the Bible. Sometimes when I study in preparation to speak or to teach a Sabbath school lesson, I'll collect as much information as I can from all the Bible. Then I'll study it, try to determine what it means. Sometimes if you try to do that as you go along, it can be confusing. So I just try to gather as much information as I can.
Yeah, and don't be afraid, again, to write in the margin of your Bible. Don't be afraid, you know, take down notes. You know, these little sticky notes. I have one right here on this desk. These little sticky notes, they'll go in your page and they don't peel the page apart.
Yeah.
They work really well, the little sticky notes.
And Brother Ed mentioned earlier the account where Jesus shared with those individuals the things pertaining to himself. If we go back to Luke 24 and verse 44, we know that the same is for us. And it reads, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." We mentioned prophecy in this conversation, right?
Yes.
"Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And the following verse reads, it says, "Then he opened their understanding that they may understand the scriptures."
Yes. Yeah. You know, we're out of time. I mean, we're going to be over time if we don't close. We've got about 30 seconds left before we have to be off the air. Brother Juan, would you say a brief prayer for us, please?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Bible talk, and I ask that those who have listened will be blessed, and may they take it upon themselves to search the scriptures, for we know in them is eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Juan, I want to thank you for being here, and Brother
Ed
as well.
Thank you for
having me. And friends, we hope to see you again next week, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.